Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Busy, busy night. Yankees, Astros, rubber game of the three-game series. Eagles, Cowboys will make our first NFL pick later this hour. Plus, the Seattle Seahawks are doing something revolutionary to curb violence at football stadiums. We'll let you know what it is. But first, it's Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. So here we go. The NFL begins its season tonight. And these are the five reasons tonight's NFL opener sucks.
Wow.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
It's an Eagles Super Bowl celebration, including a banner raising. Sweet. Can't wait.
Don't you feel that way? I know you don't like the Eagles. I get it. The Eagles are the Giants' biggest rivals. But don't you kind of feel that way about any Super Bowl celebration? It's not our team.
It just doesn't feel personal when it's any other team.
It's not. I don't mind it not feeling personal. I'm okay with seeing fan bases uniquely get to celebrate something. Like, I do generally like people's happiness, but those people, I don't need to see them tonight. Okay, here we go.
Number four.
Without a shadow of a doubt, tonight both Adoree Jackson and Azeez Ojulari will make a great play for the Eagles, prompting more anti-Giant discussion.
That's true, and it'll circle back to the Saquon stuff.
Right, will you care?
No, but it'll be shoved down our throat.
Basically, we traded Azeez Ojulari, not literally, but figuratively, for Abdul Carter.
Yes.
Will you care?
I won't, but thanks. Little spoiler alert, Chris Collinsworth tonight is going, oh, maybe we got another Saquon thing on our hands.
No, he's not. He can't even pretend to say that.
No, you know what I think they would say? It wouldn't be that. It would be, another year, another former Giant helping the Eagles.
Okay, something along those lines. All right, here we go.
Number three.
This ties back to number five, but just the general idea of Philadelphia fans getting to be smiley on camera all night. I don't want to see the crowd shots.
I see what this list is about.
Okay, again, this is the top five reasons tonight's NFL opener sucks. Here we go.
Number two.
No matter what, a team we hate wins.
Now, you're right. You don't like the fan bases, specifically of the Eagles and the Cowboys, and one of those fan bases is crowing tonight. I think it's worse if the Cowboys win, because the Eagle fan could sit back and say, you know what, we're still the Super Bowl champions, we're fine, they're still arrogant. The Cowboy fan, especially the way you guys, and I really mean Sean and Tommy, have berated the Cowboys after the Micah trade, they're going to look for their pound of flesh.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least,
number one.
I truly, at this point, wish this guy nothing but good vibes. There will still be Saquon leaving the Giants mentioned a million times when he catches the ball, carries the ball, scores a touchdown. It happened all year last year. I don't care what full year removed. It's going to happen again, and it's going to piss me off.
I don't think so. My gut is it does a disservice to Saquon to keep mentioning the Giants.
It does, but I think they can't get away from it.
He is now in the great Eagle category.
Yeah, so I'll give you an example. And there's no perfect example, but I'm going to try.
Right. He was a very good Giant.
Yeah.
He is a great Eagle.
Do you ever think at any moment anymore about Jalen Brunson being a former Maverick?
No.
Okay. Do you ever think about Lindor being a former Indian?
Mm-mm. No.
No. There's a moment in time where a guy, we just forget that they played for that team.
Right.
I'm not there yet with Soto. We're getting close, but I still think of the Yankees, the Pirates, all that. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, and I'm a New Yorker saying this, I can't even remember Barkley as a Giant.
Dude,
he's such an Eagle now that he's just an Eagle, man.
He became an Eagle and became the greatest running back in the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm with both.
Cover a man in two. Like, he's just an Eagle, man.
I'm with both of you guys. Except for this week, we got the trailer for his Amazon documentary that's coming out, which like profiles, whatever. Right. And everything that was commentated around it was about, can you believe the Giants got rid of this guy? We're going to see a plug for that tonight. You're going to do that. And also, unlike baseball and basketball, it's still the NFL. And the NFL is like wrestling with these storylines. I hope you guys are right. But I think you're still going to get this Giant slander around Saquon tonight, and I can't stand to watch it. But you know what? I'll flip over the Yankee game. Oh, wait, Anthony Volpe's playing. So enjoy your night, everybody.
How are you going to handle tonight?
Oh, Come on.
Two TVs?
Of course.
Just a basic two TV kind
of TVs, but I have no problem admitting this. Football is going on the big screen tonight.
Really?
I've watched a million
Yankees. You don't think
the Astros
game is bigger? I mean, it is the start of the NFL season, and you have all these reasons to hate this game, which you just pointed out very adeptly. None of them about the Cowboys, interestingly, except for maybe if they win.
Yeah.
But it's really, you're going to watch the Eagles on the big screen as opposed to watching the Yankees play the Astros?
I'm going
to win the series? The rubber match?
You
prepare
said,
themselves to go play the Toronto Blue Jays? What the hell is wrong
don't
with you?
Don't make me feel guilty.
It's almost like you like Jalen Hurts or something.
No.
Oh, wait, that's me.
You said something that's true. The Yankee game is bigger. And more important. There's no doubt about it. However, I'm not trying to be a TV stump here. I've perfected the toggling of volume back and forth. Football, I think, especially for the first game, the theatrics, the welcoming back, the sound bar blaring.
Right. Football, you can almost watch without watching.
Yeah, but
it's interesting because it's a slow moving game, even though it feels like it's a fast moving game.
Very slow moving game. You're so right about that.
And it'll be very easy to go back and forth to sound with the Yankees.
I tell you what ruined the baseball football thing. So football is a slow moving game. Think about how much time there is between plays. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of time.
Yeah.
Baseball and football simultaneously used to be so easy. It's like, 30 seconds between pitches, 40 seconds between plays. That pitch clock ruined the whole damn thing.
You have to watch baseball.
You do.
If you're trying to watch both.
You can't blink.
No.
Because it's like boom, right. Boom, boom, boom.
Football, and you can kind of figure it out, even if you don't see it, because there's so much time in between play. You're going to get eight replays.
So I will say my dad is not diehard football, right? He's diehard baseball. He's not diehard football. My dad will watch every Jet game.
Mm-hmm.
He consumes it by hitting the 30-second button. Between plays. And he tells me all the time, he's like, I watched the Jets. I watched every play. Huh? It took me 45 minutes. And he's right.
Now, it's true.
I think you lose a lot, but I get what he's saying. He's like, look, I just need to just show me the plays.
Right.
I don't need anything else. And so you can if you really want to.
Now, I think the big difference also why I prefer sound on the football, if you're watching multiple games at once, and I know Evan does it, mm-hmm. I feel like I do a really good job of it. That's the time to really put your phone down. You know what I mean? Like, because you want to be focused on both things at once. The thing about a football game, if it's in dead silence and you're pivoting to the sound of the baseball, injuries happen kind of constantly. I you could go two quarters and go, wait a minute, this guy came out of the game.
That's why. You know how I'm watching it tonight? Two TVs, Yankees big screen, football on the, it's not a small screen, but medium screen, sound on football.
Okay.
It's like the compromise. Right. It's how you make it 50-50.
Right.
True. Baseball's bigger, but football's sort of more important because it's got more sound.
Okay. Makes sense.
I put a poll out earlier today. What will you be more locked into? Eagles, Cowboys, or Yankees, Astros? What do you think my Twitter followers said?
Eagles, Cowboys.
By a lot.
Yeah. It's football.
It's football.
At the end of the day, it's football. We love baseball. It's a baseball town, but everybody loves football.
77% said Eagles Cowboys.
Right, and even if it's like hate watching, you're still going to watch it. NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game all season long. Kicking off with a juicy week one matchup between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Jets. Starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Go visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Clem is calling from Rockland. Hey, Clem.
Hey, guys. Great show as usual. So before I get to my Jerry Jones Cowboy point, I wanted to ask Tiki. I was in the emergency room. I walked into my car, turned you guys on.
Yep.
I believe you were talking about Anthony Volpe, if I'm not mistaken, about he's playing horrible. They keep putting him on the field, and the teammates will eventually hate him.
No.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
No, I was saying in football that happens. Baseball, it doesn't happen.
Okay, in football. So let me ask something, Teak. When you were with the Giants, obviously there was a point where you were bobbling more balls more balls than anybody.
You know it.
So was your team? Did you get a sense that your teammates were like, "Yo, don't put in Butterfingers Barber"?
Yes.
Or were they coming up?
Yes.
Were they coming up? Oh, they were.
Absolutely.
That's actually a great question. They did.
Absolutely.
And like, what would be said?
Just like, bro, what's wrong with you? Like, get it right.
That's
type
rough.
Of thing.
That's tough to deal with.
But it's in. They were friends, so it wasn't like it was.
So it was good.
I
nature.
Hate you. Yes, exactly. Okay. But it was certainly like, I mean, it was obvious. You could feel it. Like, I knew it. You didn't actually didn't have to say anything to me. But
yeah, but okay, and I don't say this as an athlete. I say it just watching sports. There seems to be like this. The pitcher is struggling. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows it. The catcher comes out. The first baseman's out. And they, right. they got their arm around you. Like, bro, we're with you. We believe in mm-hmm. you. We trust you. And then it's like, okay, deep breath. If the catcher comes out and says, bro, you suck.
Right.
I mean, what kind of changeup is that? I feel like it would be very difficult to, like, fight through that.
Well, here's the thing. Like, the game that I think was the biggest example of why, like, they hated that I was fumbling, but they knew that I needed to be on the field was the Eagles game at the end of the regular season in 2002, I think it was, where I rushed for 200 yards, but had three fumbles.
Right.
And so it's hard to – it's not like Anthony Volpe is hitting four home runs and having three errors in a game.
Right.
Like, if that was the case, okay, whatever. You suck it up. One of them balances the other. He's bad on both sides right now.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing – there's no positive to lean on. In fact, I think after that game, they asked Jim Fossil, like, don't you think you should sit Tiki down? And he said, he's my best player. Mm. How can I sit him down? You're not saying that about Anthony
Volpe
right now.
No, because he's not doing anything well.
Right. He's not their best player by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I think like last year it would have been easier to say, but he's playing Gold Glove defense.
Yes.
We'll fight through this. He's not playing Gold Glove defense, so he's not doing anything that particularly well.
Right.
Vinny in Garden City. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, what's up, boys? I heard the show yesterday. I got to tell you, I love... old school TV too, kind of like when my boy Tiki was carrying a ball and I could actually enjoy a Giants season for a change. But
yes,
we'll get back to it.
My question is: do you think the stripe, the red stripe on the Giants helmet, is a benefit to the defense when the quarterback's throwing the ball?
How so? Why would it be a benefit to the defense?
Not the Giants quarterbacks have ever had the time to look off defenders, but, you know, watching other quarterbacks can do that, you know, that red stripe, the D-back pointed at him, he knows the ball's coming right at him.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never, ever thought about that. But in some ways, if you become adept enough at using it to your advantage, you can easily look off a defender, especially if you're trying to manipulate a center of the field safety. Right, you want them to move right so you can throw it into a window to your left. You got your eyes on the guy on the left side, the left wide receiver. You just move your head, and then when you get ready to throw, you throw it left. So it pulls him. That's interesting, though. I've never thought about that.
That is creative.
I think it actually could be an advantage, not a disadvantage. Now, if you're a stare down your wide receiver, as some quarterbacks are, it's clearly a disadvantage. But I think... if you're aware of it, I think that could be a really cool advantage.
WFN NFL football is powered by Verizon. Kendrick in Suffern. Kendrick is the brainchild, by the way. I give you credit. I'm not like Sean who steals Tommy's ideas and then runs with it. Kendrick is the one who planted the seed in my head with a great email a few days ago about Nolan McClain not facing the Phillies a second time.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely agree with him. I mentioned it on the Rico. I've mentioned it on the Fan. So, Kendrick, before you say a word, great thought. You convinced me Nolan McClain should not be facing the Phillies for a second time because of the possibility the Phillies may face him a third time in the postseason. Well done, sir.
I appreciate that. And shout out to you. Kudos to you for acknowledging me as your tribal chief with that idea. So
nice. I'm trying to inspire Sean and Tommy that instead of ripping off each other's ideas, they should acknowledge them.
Just collaborate. We're a team here.
Yeah, and give people credit. Yeah. It's okay. Like, no big deal. Like, the New York Post gave me credit when they put out the tweet of, hey, it's online for McClain versus DeGrom. Turned out not to happen, but that was nice. They showed the tweet. They didn't just rip it off. Good job by them. So hopefully you learn from Kendrick and I and from the New York Post.
Tonight. I'll tell you, Kendrick, Evan Teague, I'm going to give Tommy credit for coming up with the idea that Tommy DeVito's start versus the Packers is one of the great moments in Giant history. He deserves all the credit in the world for that take.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead, Kendrick.
No, I appreciate this. And hopefully tomorrow I'm going to try to take my kid like I did last year. He had a great time. Obviously, I always like seeing you guys at the American Dream. So hopefully I can shake your hand and say, no problem. I appreciate the credit. So I did call because I've been listening all week and I wanted to touch on football and obviously the idea that I planted. So real quick, you know, earlier in the week we were talking about Aaron Glenn and his answer about what would be a successful season. And as we are a few hours away from kickoff, I wanted to throw out these two ideas that I've often used with some of my players. I said, for the first one for Aaron, I would say, before you can become the team to beat, you have to be a team that no one wants to play. And so I think as a Jet fan, you know, I know the Saleh era ended horribly, but when you look at year one to year two, by the end of year two, there was actually really good vibes in the fans because we became a team that no one really wanted to play, and we would play up.
Right, you were a pain in the ass. Especially defensively.
100%. And then the second one I would say is, you know, we don't have to be the best in the world. We just have to be the best in the stadium. And I would use that, you know, when we go up against tougher teams in the sense of, hey, you know what? The rankings don't mean anything when you're between the lines. I coached a sport with a court, so I would say it means nothing when we're on the court. But the same thing goes every Sunday. We don't have to be the best team in the league. We just have to be the best team at MetLife or wherever we're playing. So if we have that mentality and we, you know, compete week in and week out, I'll be optimistic and hopeful. And I guess both teams in New York can kind of use those two calling cries there because,
well, I mean, Kendrick, this is what Dave's did in year one. It was
100%.
It was play it tight. Like we know we're not good enough to blow teams out. Let's play it tight. In fact, some of these games are just going to get our doors blown off. But they played every game tight. A lot of one-score games, and you find a way to win it because you had good players.
I agree completely. I think one thing that Dable's done in the preseason, I've seen that I'm optimistic for the Giants, is he's also leaning in on and trusting his staff with Kafka being able to do a little bit more, and he's able to focus on everything. So that's optimistic there for the Giants. Now, for the Mets, you know, obviously, yeah, I did think McClain should start Sunday, only because I do think the Cincinnati series is really, really important. And I think, you know, whether it was going for the sweep or preventing a sweep or even just winning that series, that would just set the tone moving forward for the end of the season here. And the other part of it is, if in fact we do go down 0-2 in the series with the Reds coming up, that's a lot of pressure for a young kid to make a start, because then all of a sudden that snowball could go down and Sproat's first start is out. You can't play scared. I get it. But that was just more of the reason as well.
I think that either way, though, Kendrick, wherever you were starting Brandon Sproat in September, it was a high-pressurized spot. If it's Philadelphia in Philadelphia, that's pretty pressurized. Of course. The final game of what could be a big series against Cincinnati.
I don't think you would want to do that in Philly for Sproat. I think it would be that's just a lot of pressure.
Because of the crowd and the way they are, division, because I mean, they're not like in the division race, quite frankly. I'm just being honest. Like,
I mean, they could be.
But they are, dude. They're six games out in the loss column. Like the Phillies are playing right now, by the way. So if they lose to the Brewers and it gets down to five, it's a little bit better. But still, like, they're six games out.
I hear what you're saying, but you can't concede it yet.
It's not conceding it. Because it's baseball and crazy things can happen. It's just, it doesn't feel realistic. Like right now, I look at the National League playoffs, and here's what I see. And you'll hear positiveness from me, and you'll hear negative.
But if you go to the Philly and sweep them.
They just swept them in City. They're going to go to Philly and sweep them too?
Yes.
Do you think that's that realistic?
But it just say it happens because they believe that they can do it because they just did it.
They just did it.
You're two games out.
They still need to make up two more. And yeah, knowing the Mets, you know what they'll do? They'll go to City and get swept by the Rangers.
Right.
Like, look what they did after they swept the Phillies. Yeah, they lost three out of four to the Marlins. I think right now the Mets they're sort of in the divisional race at 5.5 out. It's not over, but it's over. And they're sort of in a wild card race, even though they now have a 4-game lead over the Giants, 5 over Cincy. It's not mathematically over,
right?
But it does feel like they're in this comfort zone where they're very unlikely to win the division, and they're very unlikely to blow a playoff spot. What's been crazy are the Giants, because I think we've viewed the Reds as the biggest threat for a while, and we eyed this weekend series. But the Giants have played incredibly well. They've won 4 in a row. They've leapfrogged Cincinnati. And they're actually closer. But keep this in mind. The Giants are 4 games back. They're really 5 back because the Mets have the tiebreaker.
Right.
So, and they don't play each other.
No.
But they can absolutely finish off Cincinnati this weekend. They can't necessarily finish off the Giants because if the Giants win a bunch of games and the Mets win a bunch of games, they still may only have a 4-game lead. But either way, I think that when you get to September, you can explain how every game is a big spot, right?
Of course.
So I don't think there's a soft landing spot necessarily for Brandon Sproat. But I can't wait to see him pitch. And if you're just tuning in, that's how the Mets are going to line it up. Peterson on Friday, Tong on Saturday, Sproat on Sunday, and then likely Nolan McLean on Monday in Philadelphia against the Phillies. Let's go to Tom in Coram, New York. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
All's good, man.
Good.
I got to let you know, you guys are the best, okay?
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I have a scenario that I really haven't heard anybody talk about with regards to football this weekend on how the Giants could be in first place after the first week of the season.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Eagles and Cowboys tie tonight. Giants win on Sunday, and there you are, a bright spot that they're in first
place.
All right,
let's analyze this for a second. If this game gets to overtime and a tie is on the table, in fact, let's get specific. The Cowboys kicker is still Brandon Aubrey? He's still a guy?
Yes.
Okay. He's tremendous, right? I'm getting in football mode. I'm trying to remember who kickers are off the top of my head. So there's 2 seconds left in the overtime period.
Right.
Okay? Brandon Aubrey is lining up for a 60-yard game-winning field goal. If he makes the field goal, the Cowboys win. If he misses the field goal, there's a tie.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all be realistic. I understand Tom's point. We could be in first place. Okay. What's best for the New York Giants? Aubrey to make the kick? You know what? I want to rephrase this. I want to rephrase it. I got it backwards. The Eagles are lining up for a game-winning field goal. I think it's got to be an Eagle win versus an Eagle tie. Because we all know the Cowboys are like the team probably on your tier closer than Philly.
Yeah.
Don't you think the Giants long-term are better off with the Cowboys flat-out losing as opposed to a tie?
Because you're not going to get close enough to take advantage of it. Actually, you know what? I think the tie would be better then.
Really?
Yeah, because now, either way, the Cowboys they're half a game back, if you're going to look in baseball terms, or they're a game back.
I know, but the Eagles on their schedule on the road is one of those games they're supposed to lose. And if you're going to be in front of Dallas, you need them to lose to the teams they're supposed to lose to. I'll frame it this way, I'll make it simpler. Mm. There are three outcomes of tonight's game.
Yes.
Eagles win, Cowboys win a tie. What's the best for the New York Giants, Tiki?
Cowboys lose badly.
Agreed. Sean?
It's the same answer as Tiki.
Tommy?
I'm going opposite. I think the Cowboys winning is the best for the Giants.
The Cowboys winning?
Short term. Hear me out. The Cowboys win this week. Who do they play next week?
Oh, the letdown factor?
The letdown game. If they lose and they don't want to go 0-2, then they may lay a beating on the Giants.
That's
so I'd rather have the Cowboys coming off a win where they're inflated and then they have the letdown spot. It's short term. It's not long term, but I think it gives the Giants a better shot of beating them next week.
Rare but stellar good point by Tommy Lugauer.
Unless they get utterly destroyed and looked inept against the Eagles, and then they just feel despondent.
Yeah, or it goes the other way. The season becomes lost.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, I think the point is to Tom, nice thinking, the tie doesn't, what does it do for you?
Right.
It's the first week of the season. Like, I mean,
does anybody like looking at a tie in the standings all year?
I do because we don't have to think about tiebreakers. I'm a big fan of ties.
I just think it looks ugly. It pisses me off all year staring at it.
Two things. I want to, A, you eliminate the tiebreaker, and the other thing is, I'm kind of a child of the 16-game season. And so when you have a tie and you finish 9-7 feels right.
9-7-1, the 2022 Giants.
Exactly. That felt right. 10-7 doesn't feel right. 6-11 doesn't feel right. So I like ties for that reason. I don't like ties, but I do like ties. I don't like ties in the moment.
Right.
I like ties in terms of the less complications with tiebreakers and the prettier number of a 16-game season.
An even number in a 16-game season, potentially.
Correct.
Can I present something to get rid of ties completely? You may say, save this for the Lugauer. It's one of those kind of takes.
You went from making such a good point.
I know. I have to get that
really
out of there.
You really want to spoil it?
I do. I really do. I think you're going to like it, Evan. Remember, you weren't here. You were on vacation. But the swing-off got a lot.
Oh, Jesus.
Just hear me out. If the game ends in a tie after overtime, you have a kickoff, but without kickers. Players kick field goals. You pick four players. Tiki, almost like soccer, right? And you kick from what's a respectable 25, 30 yards out.
Yeah, I would say try to make a 30-yard field
goal. So Malik Nabers has got to make a 30-yarder, and that's how you... So
and
no ties.
From the 20.
No one's going to get hurt, right? Kicking a field goal, Teak? I don't think, right? And there are guys on the team that are emergency kickers. You like the idea, I could tell. You haven't cut me off yet.
I don't.
It's a kickoff. I guess that you can't use the word kickoff because you're down.
Which team? Bills, right? The Bills use one of the running backs.
Yeah. I thought the Giants did this a couple years ago in the DeVito game against New Orleans. Didn't somebody get hurt? I thought the Giants had, like, somebody kicking field goals at halftime, you know, not during the game because
Jamie
somebody got
Gillen,
hurt.
But he was the punter.
No, but I think they had, like, a backup running back that was kicking. I have to look it up. But I feel like there are guys on the team. Come on, Evan. A kickoff.
No, thanks.
Then why? Ties are kissing your sister.
You know, I go the other way, and I mentioned this.
You want to kiss your sister?
Not really, but okay. I mentioned this to Tiki months ago. I don't know if you remember this opinion.
I think it was Ray Davis, right? Didn't he try and make an extra point?
Versus the Giants in the preseason.
Yes, but I think he did it last year in the regular season.
Did he?
Almost positive he did.
Does that mean you like Tommy's idea?
No, I'm just saying.
Just making sure. Yes, we've seen regular football players attempt kicks, I guess is the case.
Right.
I'm more of a proponent of not having overtime. I said, do you remember that idea I gave you 6 months ago? And you were like, that's not terrible.
Mm.
We get rid of overtime, player safety, and we just have ties the way it used to be. Like, I'm not saying something that never happened before. I think prior to 74, 75, right. They did not have overtimes during the regular season.
The thing is, what's the worst that's going to happen?
With what?
With a tie.
Nothing.
Exactly.
Ties are fine. Like, I disagree with you.
And they're rare.
They'll be less rare if you had it after regulation. Think about, Sean, quickly, how many games went to overtime last year? Google that number.
Okay.
Because all of those numbers, I know the game would be managed or coached differently if you know there's about to be a tie at the end of regulation. I totally get it. But just a rough estimate on how many overtime games there are would give you an idea of how many ties there would be. But I think, A, it works for player safety. And, B, I don't think ties are necessarily a bad thing. And, plus, I don't love the overtime rules. I don't love what they've done.
Right.
Like, they've changed it so many times over the years. In fact, as I sit here today getting ready for the start of the season, I forgot what the regular season overtime rules are.
It's not sudden death.
It's not both, what they do in the playoffs, right?
It's 10 minutes.
Right.
Both teams, I just read this last night, it's 10 minutes. Both teams have to have a possession as soon as the...
What if a team scores a touchdown?
Both teams have to have
that's
a possession.
That's my point. This is new. That changed.
When
did that change?
That changed last year.
Yeah.
So both teams have to have a possession. And then if the first team that has possession doesn't score, then it's effectively sudden death. So whoever scores next essentially wins. So if the second team in their possession throws an interception and goes back for a touchdown, it's game over. It's different in the postseason. In the postseason, it's 15 minutes. And each team also has to have a possession. But let's say, because this almost happened in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, two seasons ago.
But by the way, I think I have to correct you on this. This is starting tonight, what you're describing. This
What's
is
that?
New.
What's
the,
that?
Taking the postseason overtime rules and making it universal with the regular season. This actually is starting tonight. That last year, it was still the rules of if you score a touchdown, you win the game. I'm reading this right now.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you're right.
But when
I thought you were talking about the timing.
No. So when I jokingly said, I don't even know the overtime rules for the NFL in the regular season.
I feel like that changed.
They just changed it.
I definitely thought Tiki was right. I thought last year they implemented this. I guess not.
Or maybe they were just talking about implementing
Mike it. Pereira explains updated NFL overtime rules starting in 2025.
Right.
And then Mike Pereira begins his article by saying, you know what I like? When NFL rules are the same in the regular season and the playoffs. Well, that's now the case with overtime.
Kind of.
It's not, because they still continue to play in playoffs.
Right, but the rules are the same. Like, they're universal in terms of a touchdown doesn't just end the game.
Yes.
Both teams have to possess the ball.
Right.
So they are more unified than they've been.
16 games went to overtime last year.
16. So it's not that many, bro.
Like one a week.
Yeah. That's not that bad.
Not a ton.
I'm big on getting rid of overtime.
I bet 2 years ago it was less than that.
All I know is as somebody who sat through a tie 2 years ago or 3 years ago in the stadium, there is no worse feeling. It's worse than leaving after a loss.
Hmm.
No, that's not true.
Evan,
is worse than losing.
Evan, because you don't, at least after a loss, you leave your head down. The tie, you don't know how to feel. It's an awful feeling.
This is the same guy, Tiki, who a few days ago said he'd rather win games against good teams than have the Yankees win the American League.
I understand statistically it ties, but I'm just telling you as a fan, when you go to a game, it is a you feel like you wasted your time.
You have to speak Evan's language. It's the main event of WrestleMania. It's the main event of SummerSlam, and Lex Luger wins by countout.
Okay, but here's
the Lex Express, and it's a countout.
The main event of SummerSlam isn't Week 7.
I know, but it could be your main event when you go to the game. You go to one game a year.
Week 7 is a mid-card match.
Evan,
mid-card match ending in a countout, it sucks, but it can happen.
What about all the people that's the only game they go to all year, and it's a countout victory in the main event?
I know, but it's not the main event. There's 17 main events a year? Come on, that's
But no. When you go to commit to a game, people aren't season ticket holders. That is your main event.
Right.
It's the one game you've circled, you've talked about going to for months. A lot of people do that. You leave after a tie, you feel like it's a waste of time. I lived it. I promise you.
I disagree with you. But yeah, so a little bit of breaking news in case we forgot. Because no one around here even knew, the NFL overtime rules changed tonight. It is now unified with the postseason, where a touchdown won't end the game. Both teams, as Tiki was explaining, has to possess the football and 10 minutes on the clock.
Right. Postseason, it's 15 minutes on the clock.
And then, of course, if it's tied, it continues. That, of course, being the difference. So there you go.
In the postseason.
I mean this as a compliment. There are not two more obnoxious people in terms of love for their football team at this radio station than Sean Morash and Al Cintron. And so this is the moment where we can finally take those two obnoxious voices and let them go at it. Al does a great job. He filled in all summer, did overnights, whatnot. He's a very, don't take offense to this, he's a very obnoxious commander.
Hold mine! Hold mine!
He right now is sitting here wearing a Sean Taylor shirt, beautiful.
Right. I respect that. I grew up in Washington, as you know.
Legend.
He's wearing a Washington Commanders hat, and he's been talking crap like this entire offseason.
My Washington Commanders!
Damn right.
And then you got Sean Morash, who's just been talking crap, too. He's going down to D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know this, Sean, but Al challenged you on the air like a couple of weeks ago.
I don't.
Basically saying, the Commanders are not only beating the Giants, lay the points, I'll bet whatever you want. So I think it's time for you guys to just have a discussion about this game on Sunday and what you'd like to put on the line. So, Al, tell Sean what you're going to do to the Giants on Sunday.
27-17, and it won't even feel like that. It'll be worse.
That's your big 10-point win, Macho Man?
I just told you, it'll feel worse than that.
Al, with four new pieces in the O-line, you're scoring 27 points versus our defense. Come on.
Has your defense played one regular season game together, all those pieces?
No, that's great.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We haven't shown anything to you. That's exactly it.
All right,
listen, you know Brian Burns is going to have Tunsil in the turnstile. You know Abdul Carter is going to have his welcome to the rookie 3-sack effort. You know that Paulson Adebo is taking a pick 6 to the house.
Oh, boy.
You know Tyrone Tracy's rushing for 100 yards.
Oh, boy.
You know that there's going to be two deep balls to Malik Nabers that leaves all the Commander fans, if they do exist, beyond you crying. That's another reason I'm going. Do any of you actually exist? I never see you.
If he makes it through the first half healthy.
Okay, and you know the most important ingredient. Daniel Jones stinks, and he was your daddy. The Giants have upgraded at quarterback.
And we haven't had a quarterback, and now we have a franchise quarterback when you guys are hoping Jackson Fart is your franchise quarterback.
Oh, that's great. Are we sure Jaden Daniels ain't taking that step back like CJ Stroud last year?
Hell
we
no.
Sure about that?
He's different.
We sure about that?
He's different. This is not RG3. Your head is all big. He is different.
What's the deal? Is it Tasty Cakes or Entenmann's in D.C.? What's Debo Samuel eating? What's the choice?
I don't care. Man. As long as he's in the end zone, I don't care if he's 360 pounds.
He'll be in the end zone running to the bathroom after he's eaten too much pregame.
It's all good.
Al, you believe the Commanders will win this game and they will cover the number?
Yeah.
Okay.
The number is 5.5.
Yeah, dropped.
Started at 6.
Dropping, interesting. Like a lot of passes McLaurin will have.
Al said on the air a week and a half ago, I bet Sean anything. And I thought about it for a while. I have a perfect bet for both of you. Obviously, you both need to accept it. Certainly not going to force it.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
Okay, let's hear it.
The loser has to do the other person's job. So, for example, if Sean loses, and it's likely he will, Al, I'm sure do you want to tell him what your other job is?
I work at the hotel, and I'm just going to leave it at that. You're going to have to greet a lot of guests.
Yeah, Sean has to do that.
You know what's funny? I kind of could see myself doing that.
I actually could see it, too. I got to be honest.
Yeah, and then if Al wins, he gets to do... See, here's the problem with this. You have to do his job. Al does your job if the Commanders win.
Okay? No points?
Because Al's going to... I'll give
you the points.
You were in the NFC Championship game. You think you win about 10.
I'll give you the points.
He offered the points.
I gave it to you.
The points. Giants plus 5.5.
If the Commanders cover that day, and we'll pick a day that works for everybody, Sean is out. He does Al's job at the hotel. And Al gets to sit with us. You're a fun guy. Mm-hmm. Have a good time. Now, vice versa, you tell me what you want. What would you want from Al?
Oh, okay. So Al just does my job. I don't have to go work at the hotel is what you're saying.
No. That's the trade-off if Al wins.
Oh, if Al wins. All right, so our digital team will come
Al's
watch me
job.
Greet people.
Yes, and Al does
And carry bags and run around the hotel and put on a uniform.
Okay. I got no issue doing that.
And you get to sit with us. So it's a great victory for Al, sort of a loss for you. The only thing I can't think of is what about if you lose, Al? What are you giving Sean? Because you got to give him something good.
You want me to get a custom giant jersey with your name on it and I wear it?
No. That's too easy. That's too easy,
what do you
Al.
Want, what do you want from the man?
Oh, this is a tough one.
Because I'm giving that's a good return, right, Al? He does
you
your job, you does his
you know
job.
What?
Great.
Well, we got to come up with a plan B because the union's involved in my hotel job.
I got it.
What?
Al, you have to go to, as long as they have one, a home Met playoff game in full Yankee uniform, pants and all.
Oh.
Wow.
Now you're going to see your favorite team playing the playoffs.
He stuttered, dude.
No, I almost, I almost dropped the F-bomb. That's why.
You get to see the Mets play in the playoffs, but you got to be in full Yankee uniform.
You paying the ticket for the playoff game?
Yeah.
We will take care of it.
I'll wear it. It's not a problem.
Wow. Mm.
I'll do it.
No, Shilly. I'm really a Met fan written on it full blown.
I don't care. I'll do it.
That is, I'll tell you.
I own my bet. That's it.
That's a lot to give up right here. I mean,
they're winning easy, though. They're the Commanders. They went to the NFC Championship. He's got nothing to worry about.
No, I think there's a lot on the line on both sides. Mm. I mean, I think that's a quality, fair bet.
Well, we have to come up with a plan B because union's involved with the Sean thing.
Yeah, the union involved. Yeah. What do we do then? Maybe, here's what we'll do. You still get a day to take his job.
Sure.
But maybe you still do the job, but Sean has to, like, basically be your, you know.
Butler?
Yeah, your butler.
Yeah, I so
that'll
gonna
cure
say,
the union. Yeah, I had another
You're
going
to say another B word. I know.
That'll give the union, like, you're still working,
yeah.
But Sean has to basically do your job. I think that's an easy way around it.
Okay, yeah, I greet him coming in, carrying bags, the whole
thing. Whatever Al tells you to do.
He'd be my assistant for the day.
Yeah.
All right, I think we're on.
You guys agree to this?
Yeah,
I agree with it.
All right. If the Mets don't have a home playoff game still on the table.
Opening day, I'll wear Yankees gear to the Met game.
Bang. We're done.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Good seeing
not
you.
Not gear. Again, full uniform. I just want this on the record.
Cleats and everything?
I don't know about the cleats. But pants, jersey.
Jock strap too?
No.
All right. Good job. I think that was
you.
Fair. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Let's go, Commanders.
Oh, stop.
The Commanders.
That's a fair bet, right, Deke? I mean, that's also a lot on the line here.
It is a whole lot on the line. There's a lot of faith here. Now, Sean gets the points, and it's falling.
Yeah, 5.5.
It doesn't really help you.
Yeah, we've locked in 5.5.
We have to lock in 5.5.
We're locking in 5.5.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Now, I know last year, Teak, you always picked the Giants, but as we sit here today, Thursday, September 4th, at 5:53 p.m., who do you think? Good seeing you, man. Who do you think wins that bet?
I think there's a good chance the Giants could win.
Oh, come on.
I really do.
All right.
And here's the reason, because, look, the Commanders last year were top five in rushing offense, right? And Jaden Daniels was really good.
Yeah,
it wasn't like he was a world beater as a passer of the game ball, even though he did do really well. But their strength was running the football, and a lot of that was because of Jaden Daniels scrambling, etc. Their offensive line was not great two seasons ago. Remember, this was Sam Howell, and he got sacked
like a billion times,
70 times or whatever it was. The offensive line was basically the same. It's just Jaden Daniels is a super athlete and could escape it and could scramble. And so the Giants' biggest issue is going to be containing their run game. And I think they're set up in the secondary to defend against the pass. We all know the upgrades. And even when they do drop back the pass, they have pass rushers to get after them, including Dexter Lawrence. So I think the Giants have a chance defensively to contain this offense. And by the way, last year, Terry McLaurin, as good as he was, 1,000-yard receiver, however many touchdowns, 7-8 touchdowns that he had, he only had like 25 yards against the Giants.
Mm.
So they kind of know how to defend him. Goodbye, SNY. Thank you for joining us. As always, Baseball Night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers.
How are they going to use? I know Sean made jokes about Debo putting some weight on, but we know that Debo can make plays with his legs. They use him as a running back all the time.
I don't know if they've done that in the preseason. They didn't do it in the preseason, obviously.
But you're not going to show anything in the preseason.
Of course. So can he do it? Yes. But I also remember his last year or so in San Francisco, he didn't want to do it.
He didn't do it as effectively either.
Yeah.
But he still got 40 carries.
I think
for the
season. Was because he didn't want to do it.
Right.
He was expressing.
Yeah, but why didn't he want to do it? Because he didn't get paid.
True. But I also think it's when you become that hybrid player like that, it takes away from your receiving touches.
It does,
so you're never going to become an elite top end wide receiver, which I think he could become.
But he hasn't been yet. Like,
he hasn't. Because he's never been a full wide receiver. He's always been the compatible Christian McCaffrey with the wide receiver tag first.
So how do they use him? And I don't know the answer to that. Because a part of Debo...
There's a precedent with Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
We don't know.
And they're not going to tell you in the preseason, but part of Debo's value over the last few years is that he's going to get 40 to 45 carries.
Right.
And he's going to be productive. And I thought, at least this is what I thought, his hesitation towards continuing to do that at age 27, 28 was, hey, you better pay me. You want me to do this, I want to get paid.
You also get beat up as a running back.
Right. But I think it's different once you get the payday. So I'd be curious to see how they use Debo Samuel if he fits that kind of hybrid role on Sunday. But I think we've got great terms. If the Giants cover the number and Sean is the victor, a diehard Met fan has to go to a Met playoff game or opening day decked out in Yankee stuff. And then if the Commanders cover, not only does Sean have to basically work for him at the hotel, but he takes your job for a day. And we're going to make it a very painful day.
That's fine.
Like, it'll be after, I don't know, some big giant victory.
Right.
The only painful day is going to be for Al on Sunday. So that's all that matters.
Very confident.
So I think it's obvious Evan is rooting for Al. I think you've made that very clear. Even though he'd have to wear Yankee gear to Met opening day or a home playoff game, although that'd be a good thing, they have a home playoff game. It's obvious that you're, I think, rooting for Al because Sean being his assistant at a hotel is just funny.
I'm rooting for the Commanders for three reasons, and I think they're all fair.
You're such a hater.
Well, no, I'm not a hater. Maybe you'll understand my reasons.
No, let's hear it.
Number one.
I might understand it, but I'm never accepting it.
That's totally fine. You're a Giant guy, and I get that. You don't have to agree with me. You're a Giant fan. I respect it. Sean on an Amtrak for 5 hours.
It's 3 hours and then an hour on the long road.
Okay. You're on a train for a lot of hours. After getting abused by Commander fans, could be the greatest visual I've ever thought of in my life. So number one, selfishly, much like if I took a train down to Philly for some big Met game, that at the end of the day doesn't mean the world, like it's not a playoff game, like just a big Met game, some emotional thing. You'd want me to suffer. That's number one. Number two, yes, I would like to see Al fill in for a day. I think he's a great talent. Number two, Sean's got to work at a hotel. And then number three, and I mean this with all the respect in the world, Giant fans gotten a little, they got a little ahead of themselves.
What do you mean?
And
they're just excited to have a team that matters.
And I want the Giants to have a successful year, but I think you need to get cut down week one. I think there needs to be a humbling, and so I think week one would be a nice humbling. So I don't feel this way every week. I'm certainly not a Giant hater, but yes, to answer your question, in week one, I am rooting for the Commanders.
Okay. Enjoy that. Enjoy that.
Was that not all fair answers?
Fair. I can accept it.
Thank you. I didn't say forever. That's 1 week.
I find 1% of me wanting to see Sean. You know what I mean?
No. Two of the reasons I gave
are great.
You actually completely agree with.
The Sean comeuppance, and then we could have like a Lugatron debate series. Like, I wouldn't mind sitting next to Al and then we maybe get Jackson Dart. Like, I am slightly, the fact that you put this out there, and maybe I'm alone as a Giant fan, I feel a little conflicted here on obviously pulling for the Giants, but maybe 2-3% of me that's like, you know what, maybe Sean get his comeuppance.
Well, the concern is,
yeah,
Al does a good job that day, and it's like, we really going back to Sean? Like, it's possible Al.
Sean and learn the board, then I could be out. So there's a lot of moving, as there's changing on the winds here. So you don't know what's going to happen.
That's fair. That's why there's a lot on the line for Sean, more than he realizes.
Boy.
You don't want to miss a day. Yeah, God forbid.
Huge stakes here.
I don't know what that turns into.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.